verse 21. Exodus 8:21 through 23. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies. They shall be there. Here we go. I shall send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians, shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And watch this, verse 22, very important. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. Everybody say, land of Goshen. Yeah. In which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Then turn over to the book of Exodus chapter 9. And look with me in verse 2. Exodus 9 verse 2. And for if thou will refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever, notice this again, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Oh, hallelujah. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. Oh, bless his holy name. This is, isn't it awesome when you read the Bible and you say, that's in the Bible? It's in there. Praise God. Look with me now at chapter 10, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. And that's dark, right? That's dark. It was so dark that they felt the darkness, and they wouldn't even move from where they were sitting or standing for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, land of Goshen.
Land of Goshen.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you are teaching us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for quickening our understanding today. Lord, you are a mighty God. And you are a God that is able to keep that which is committed unto you. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring forth this word today in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, safe in Goshen.
Safe in Goshen.
Safe in Goshen. You know, a few days ago, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me very strongly. And he said, I want you to go to the book of Exodus. And I knew immediately that he had something he wanted me to see. And so I began to read in Exodus chapter 1, and I began to read how the children of Israel were in Egypt because of Joseph. Joseph had went down to Egypt, and he was a ruler, and he was the prime minister of Egypt. And you know the story. He was second command over the whole nation of Egypt. And then he rules there for some time, and he governs there for some time. And then the Bible says that Joseph died. And his brethren died, and all of those around them, all that generation died. But the children of Israel were fruitful. They were fruitful, the Bible says. And they increased abundantly, and they multiplied, and the land was filled with them. They were a blessed They were a prosperous people right in the midst of a godless society. In the midst of a mini-god society, because the Egyptians and the nation of Egypt was a nation that worshipped many gods. And so I began to think to myself, Lord, that's exactly what you do for us. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in a godless society, or I could even say an anti-god society. We're living in an anti-God society, but right in the midst of it all, God is still good to his people, and God is still blessing us, and God is still shining his favor upon us in the midst of it all. But I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, keep on reading. That's not all there is to it. There's more that I want you to see. So I read on, and I read, and I saw how that the favor that was upon the children of Israel because of Joseph didn't last forever. And now that Pharaoh had died, and there's a new king in Egypt, and this new Pharaoh and this new king doesn't honor and doesn't respect Joseph, and he doesn't even respect the memory of Joseph. And Egypt began to look at the children of Israel as an enemy. And in Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burden. You see, Egypt wanted to convince Israel that they were subordinate to them, that they were less than them, that they were weak. And so they wanted to keep them in captivity and hold them under slavery. But the more, the Bible says, I love this, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Oh, hallelujah. See, you can't keep a good man down. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then the Bible says that Egypt was grieved because of them. Then in verse 23, the Bible says this. It came to pass in the process of time that the children of Israel sighed. How many's ever sighed? They sighed. Well, you know, a sigh might mean that you are not happy with something, uncomfortable with something, disappointed about something. A sigh. But a sigh is not really life-changing. But then the Bible says, by reason of the bondage, they cried. There's a difference between a sigh and a cry, isn't there? They cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. Now remember, the Bible says, in process of time. The children of Israel were in bondage for over 400 years. So in a process of time, that means they were in slavery and bondage for a long time, but they did not cry out for deliverance until the bondage and the oppression became so oppressive and so intense and so heavy that they couldn't bear it anymore and they couldn't stand it anymore. And so they began finally to cry out to God. And I read that and I began to think that's exactly what's happening today. Amen. There's oppression, there's heaviness of Egypt in the lives of God's people. But they're willing to put up with it. They're putting up with things, they're tolerating things that should not be in the lives of the children of God. We see Christians today that are playing games with the world and they're putting up with things in their life and tolerating things that are out of order, that are carnal, that are worldly. But finally they reach a place where they can't endure it any longer, and things they had learned how to live with and how to tolerate are now controlling them, and they're ruling over them and oppressing them. Somebody started out watching just a little movie and just a rated R, not thinking too much about it. Maybe then they move to the next movie, now it's rated X, and now before you know it, they're totally bound by pornography. And they're a total slave to something that they had just thought that they could control. But there's no more peace. There's no more freedom. No more liberty. No more glory of God. No presence. No power of God in their lives. And now, because of extreme bondage and oppression, they cry out to God for deliverance. And God sends a deliverer. Oh, I'm thank God for a deliverer. He sends a deliverer named Moses. And Moses means drawn out of the water or rescued. His name defines his destiny because he is chosen by God to draw Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Moses comes to Pharaoh. He commands Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let God's people go." But Pharaoh refuses. His iron grip tightens on the Israelites. He increases their burdens and the grief and their sorrow and their oppression and their pain. And now the stage is set for a showdown. And it's a showdown not really between Pharaoh and Moses, but they are the players that you see in the Bible. And the confrontation is really between the kingdom of God and Satan's kingdom. And God begins to pour out his plagues upon the many gods of Egypt. The 9 and 10 plagues, water turned to blood, and the frogs and biting insects and flies and livestock disease and boils and fiery hail and thunder and locusts and darkness. And finally, the firstborn of every house in Egypt dies. And God begins to pour out all these plagues upon Egypt. And Pharaoh's heart is hard against God. And Pharaoh invites his magicians, his sorcerers into the battle. And they exercise their dark powers. And they're able to increase the plagues. They can add to the plague. They can make it worse. But they cannot produce 1 ounce of relief or freedom or deliverance from the plagues upon Egypt. Their whole system of Egypt is being destroyed as God sends plague after plague upon Egypt. Egypt represents darkness, evil, corruption, perversity, Satan's kingdom. But while God is pouring out his plagues on Egypt, he ordains, hallelujah, he establishes a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of favor, and a place of provision for the children of Israel. And it's a place called Goshen, hallelujah. Everybody say, land of Goshen.
Land of Goshen.
Say, safe in Goshen.
Safe in Goshen.
Hallelujah. Listen, friend, when there was death in the land, there was life in Goshen. When there was sickness in the land, there was health in Goshen. When there was darkness in the land, there was light in Goshen. Oh, Ribasata, feel the Holy Ghost today. God made a division and God made a distinction between the Egyptians and his people. He made a distinction between sin and righteousness. He made a distinction between darkness and light. Hallelujah. When God began to bring this to my attention, I thought to myself, Lord, you're getting ready to show me something very significant. And so I knew it had to do with that place, Goshen. Safe in Goshen. I thought to myself, I'm going to look up that word Goshen. It's got to be a very powerful word. Got to be something very dynamic about that word Goshen. And so I went to my dictionary to look it up, expecting something like strength, or power, or greatness, or faith. I mean, something dynamic, something exciting. And then I read, and it's like, I was surprised me. You know what Goshen means? It means draw near. Draw near. I thought that's not very dynamic. Draw near. Then my mind went to a scripture in the Bible where he says, draw near to God. And I'll draw near to you. Oh, hallelujah. And then my mind went to a scripture in Psalms 91 where it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. And the word shadow means protection, and it means to hover over, and it means to look over. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought if I'm under his shadow, that means I got to be close to him. If I'm under his shadow, I have to be near him. He that dwelleth in the secret place, that's the secret place.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Then the Holy Spirit took me to another scripture in Isaiah 26 and 20. He said, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself. And I knew the Holy Spirit was saying to me, It's time to get in the safe place. It's time to get to the storm cellar. It's time to get to the bunker. It's time to get to the fallout shelter. Hide thyself. Shut the door. That's what the Holy Spirit said. The children of Israel had Goshen. Goshen was their secret place. It was their place of safety, of protection, of provision. It was their storm cellar. It was their fallout shelter when all hell was breaking loose.
Amen.
And then I thought, God, the children of Israel had Goshen. They had their safe place. What about us, oh God? What about us? Where do we go when everything around us is shaken? Where is our storm cellar? Where's our fallout shelter? Oh God, is there a Goshen for us? Thank God, my friend, there's a place better than Goshen. There's a place even better than the Goshen in the Bible. Because everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. See, they had the type. We have the reality. Ha-ribosha. They had the shadow. We've got the substance, hallelujah. We've got the best, glory to God. See, we have a better priesthood, a better covenant, established upon better promises. Oh, praise God. Our Goshen, our safe place, it's not a 10 by 10 room, 5 feet underground. Our safe place is not a plot of ground. It's not a bunker somewhere up in the mountains. Our safe place, our Goshen, it's not a place, it's a person. And his name is Jesus. He is my hiding place. He is my fallout shelter. He is my strong tower. He is my deliverer. He's my solid ground when the world around me is shaking. He's my peace in the time of storm. He's my strength. He's the health of my countenance and the strength of my life. Somebody lift your hands and say, thank God for Jesus.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Psalms 91 says, if I dwell in him, he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. If I dwell in him, he will deliver me from the noisome pestilence. I won't have to be afraid for the terror that flieth by night, or for the arrow that flieth by day, or for the darkness, or for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Friend, listen to me. He said, 1,000 will fall at thy side. In other words, things are going to happen. In other words, there's going to be some things happen. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some hard times. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Who is it not going to come nigh? Not everyone. The ones that are living in Goshen. The ones that are in Christ. The ones that have found their secret place. The ones that are hid away with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you have made him your refuge. Because you have made him your safe place. Because you have made him your fallout shelter. You see, I'm not worried about nuclear fallout. I'm not worried about storms or hurricanes. I'm not worried about terrorists. I'm not worried. There's only one thing I'm concerned about. I gotta know that I'm in Goshen. I gotta know that I found my safe place. I gotta know that I'm in Jesus. I gotta know that I'm dwelling in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm gonna close. I'm not holding you long today. Just delivering to you what God put on my heart. And I'm going to tell you something you already know. This is not going to shock you. This world is in turmoil. There are violent storms. Record-breaking storms. Storms doing things they've never seen them ever do before in history. Storms of higher intensity, lasting longer. Storms that follow one right after another. Earthquakes. Tornadoes, tsunamis, political upheaval. And you know I'm not a gloom and doom preacher. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to paint a pretty picture for you, for this world. Because the truth is, this world is in a bad condition. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to get worse. Yeah. Now, I don't like that. I'm going to be honest with you right now, I don't like that. It would make me feel a whole lot better if I could jump on the bandwagon with a whole lot of these other prophets and tell everybody that it's getting better all the time. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. All of these bad things are going to go away and it's all going to settle down. But if I did, I'd be lying to you. Because this world's in a bad condition. It's going to get worse. Jesus said it would. The Bible said it would. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. There would be pestilence. There would be war and rumors of war. Yeah. Friend, listen to me. Society is on the fast track to self-destruction. If you took natural disasters, if you took earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and volcanoes, and you took war and the threat of nuclear war completely out of the equation, the fact still remains. The sin, the wickedness, the perversion, and the rebellion against God is destroying the fabric of our nation. Our country is imploding. That means it's exploding, blowing up from the inside out. Our country is imploding. We are self-destructing as a nation. And you want to know why we're having all the crazy storms and why the weather's gone crazy and why earthquakes are happening all over the place and why volcanoes are becoming active that have not been for years and years. I'm telling you, friend, the earth is rebelling against the sins of humanity. I said the earth is rebelling against the sins of humanity. Our whole ecosystem is being thrown out of balance and it's going to get worse. So what do you do? What do you do when the storms are coming? What do you do when you're in a place that is under judgment? What do you do when plague after plague is being poured out upon the wickedness of a nation, of a people? What do you do when one bad thing after another is coming? What do you do? Because if it's God, if God is behind it, where do you hide from God? There's only one safe place. We've got to get to Goshen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, safe in Goshen.
Safe in Goshen.
What does Goshen mean?
Draw near.
Draw near. We've got to get to Goshen. There's only one safe place for the child of God, and that's in Goshen. We've got to get to Goshen. In other words, we've got to live the Goshen life. Hallelujah. We've got to draw near to the Lord. We've got to get in the secret place, and we've got to shut the door. That's what he said in Isaiah. He said, come into your secret chamber and shut the door. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get in your safe place and shut the door. Now let me say something. And I don't want you to misunderstand me what I'm saying. When I talk about going to Goshen and hiding in Goshen, I want you to understand something. I'm not talking about running away from the devil. I'm not talking about hiding and running away from the devil with our tails between our legs, trying to avoid the devil, hunkered down in the corner, shaking and trembling with fear. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? If you think that's what I'm saying, you missed the whole point. I'm not talking about hiding from the devil. I'm not talking about running away in fear from the devil. Friend, it's just the opposite. When we're hidden in Christ, when we're dwelling with Him in the secret place, that's where we're empowered. That's where we're clothed with power. That's where we grow in the anointing. That's where boldness comes. That's where the power of the Holy Ghost begins to come upon your life. Is when you get hid away with Christ in God in the secret place. Oh, I think that songwriter knew there's something about this when he said, shut in with God in the secret place. Shut in with God in the secret place. Gaining new power to run in the race. How I long to be shut in with God. Oh, I want to be shut in with God. I want to be shut in with God. You see, when we're hidden in Christ in the secret place, that's where we're empowered. That's where we're clothed with power. That's where we're fed and we're nourished. That's where we get the power to help others. That's where we get the power over the works of the devil. We're not hiding in fear. Don't think I'm saying we're hiding from the devil. We're hiding in faith. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want to get so deep in Him. I want to get so hidden in Him. The Bible says there's a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The fierce lion has not passed by it, and the lion's whelps have not trodden it. There's a place in God the devil can't get. There's a place in God where sin can't reach you. There's a place in God where sickness and disease can't reach you. There's a place in God where all of the things that are happening in this world, you see them, but they won't touch you. Amen. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. 10,000 at your right hand. But it will not come nigh your dwelling. What is my dwelling? The secret place. What is my dwelling? It's not that house. It's my place in Christ. Because you have made the Lord your habitation. Therefore, only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Let me close with this illustration today. How many of you ever watched Star Trek? The old Star Trek, the original Star Trek. God forgive all of you. Altar is open. We're going to pray for all those who have ever watched Star Trek. I've watched Star Trek. Just kidding. A lot of that stuff was there was a lot of spiritual things in there.
Amen.
And you know, I saw, you remember the Klingons? You know, the Klingons were enemies of the Enterprise, you know, the human race. And the Klingons, I always thought it was weird that that certain enemies had certain things we didn't have. I don't know about you, but that bothered me. They had what they called a cloaking device. I thought, why don't we have a cloaking device? Captain Kirk?
What's wrong with you? Talk to Scotty about this. We need a cloaking device.
Scotty knows this.
But they had a cloaking device. And this cloaking device made their ships invisible. And I thought, man, that is too cool. We need one of those on the Enterprise. Yeah. Right?
So I thought to myself, that is pretty neat. But here's the thing. I noticed this. When the Klingons cloaked themselves, they didn't do it to run away in fear. They did it to give themselves the advantage in the battle, in the warfare. They didn't cloak themselves as in, you can't catch us, we're out of here. Yeah, it's just the opposite, man. When they went in to cloak, it was on. Hallelujah. Because it gave them the advantage. You understand? You follow what I'm saying today? So we're not hiding ourselves in Christ to run away in fear. We're not going to the secret place to hide in fear from the enemy, to hide in fear and dread and run away. Friend, we are hiding in the safe place, drawing near to Him in Goshen, because it gives us the advantage over the devil. It gives us the advantage over sickness and disease. It gives us the advantage over the powers of darkness. It gives us the advantage when this world is shaken. It gives us the advantage when this world is falling apart and they don't know what to do. We have the advantage because we are hidden in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Shatalabasai. Come on, lift your hands and thank God for the advantage. Come on, lift your hands and thank Him for the advantage today. Ishatalabasai. I thank You for the advantage today, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank You for the advantage. Hidabandolaboshandai. I'm closing today telling you this. There are more plagues that are coming on this world. I wish I didn't have to say it, but it's true. And I'm saying it because we've got to be ready. There are more plagues that are coming on this world. And to be truthful about it, I'm going to tell you the truth. You haven't seen anything yet to what's coming. And I hear the Holy Spirit again. I've said it before, but I hear Him again sounding the alarm. He told me to go to Exodus and read this, to bring me to this point, to sound the alarm again and tell my people, get in the safe place. Get in the secret place. Get to the shelter. Get to Goshen. Draw near to Him. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying this, don't be deceived. It's not what you know about the church and what you know about the Bible that's going to save you. It's being hid in Him.
Amen.
Listen.
Hallelujah.
Noah spent years building an ark that saved only His family.
Yeah.
Out of all the population on the face of the planet, it saved only His family. Yeah. Not because that was all it would hold, because that's the only ones that got in. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that while He was building that ark, that some very intelligent people came by and saw what he was doing and looked at the structure and the design and said, wow, what a design, what a structure. I've never seen anything like this. This is amazing. Where did you get the plan for this, Noah? And they probably even studied it. Probably studied how he put it together and how it came together and the design of it and the length of it and the height of it and the breadth of it, the sizes of the rooms and the window and the top and the door and the side. And they probably studied it all. But when it come down to judgment time, all of their knowledge about the ark and its design didn't save one single person. And here's my concern today. I'm so concerned because I know so many people that are like that. They know about the ark. They know about the church. They've got even inside information on the structure of the church and how the church works and the songs of the church and the hymns of the church. Know what page I'm getting ready to leave this world is on. Know what page Fill My Way With Love is on. But they're not in Christ. They're not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, it doesn't matter what you know about Him. If you're not in Christ, it doesn't matter that you have an affiliation with the ark, with the church. If you're not in Christ, you're going to get swept away. If you're not in Christ, you know, I love the Word of God. It's so wonderful because God is so merciful. God even extended His mercy to the Egyptians that He was pouring His judgment out on. He said, I'm going to send hail, and it's going to destroy everything in the field. And he said, warn them, tell them to get their beasts and get their people out of the fields. Because everything that's in the field is going to die. And you know, some of those Egyptians listened. And some of those Egyptians heeded the words. And they came out of the fields and they protected themselves because they heard the word. They believed it. And God's mercy covered them. But the others ignored it, and they died in the fields. Friend, we got to get to Goshen. There's never been a time like today. We've never lived in a time like we're living in right now. And I'm not trying to preach for entertainment's sake. I'm not trying to preach to get people all excited, get people all thrilled, get people shouting and dancing and running. We're going to do that later on. What I'm trying to do today is I'm calling people to Goshen. I'm calling people to Goshen because plagues are being poured out. I'm calling people to Goshen because this is where we're going to be kept. This is where we're going to be nurtured. This is where we're going to be strengthened. This is where we're going to be empowered. And I don't care how much you know about the church. I don't care how much you know about the songs of the church and how much you might be able to preach better than the preacher. You might know the scriptures better than the preacher. And you might know where they're found in the Bible, chapter and verse. But do you know Christ? Are you hid in Him? I'm going to open these altars today and I want everyone to come. I want everyone to come. I want everyone to fill the front of this church today. And I want us to put our attention on Him. And I want us to seek Him. I want us to make it up in our minds. Lord, I'm going to press my way into Your presence. He said, you are the one that has to come into the secret place. He said, you're the one that has to come in. And you're the one that has to shut the door behind you. He's not going to do it. You have to come in. You have to make up your mind. Lord, I'm going to seek Your face like I've never sought You before. This world is shaking, friend. Things are happening in this world. And you don't have the promise of tomorrow. We have right now. We have today. We have this heartbeat.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, today. Holy Spirit, reach every heart. Reach even beyond this assembly today. For everyone that's hearing my voice, Lord, by podcast, and any other way, Lord, that they are hearing this message or reading this message, I pray, oh God, that they will not put their confidence in horses or put their confidence in chariots or put their confidence in the ark or what they know about the ark. But they will run to your presence and they will get in the secret place and they will hide themselves away with you. And they will seek your face, Lord. Because this world is shaking. This world is unstable. This world is coming apart at the seams. And you're the only answer. And the only way we can help anyone else, Lord, is to be in that secret place. The only way we can offer help and we can offer strength and we can offer peace to anyone else, Lord, we have to be in the secret place, Lord. Shut us in, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we worship you today. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Lord. I want to draw near to you. I want to draw near to you, Lord. You said if I would draw near to you, you'd draw near to me. I want to be shut away in that secret place with you. I want to be hidden in your presence, Lord. I know the storms are coming. I know, Lord, that plagues are being poured out. I know, God, that things are happening in this world, Lord. It's going to get worse. I know it's true, Lord. But there is a hiding place that you have prepared for your children. There is a place of separation and distinction, Lord, that you prepared for us.
We know who you are.
Thousands shall fall at thy side.
10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thy dwelling, only with thine eyes. Thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, only with thine eyes. For we have made the Lord the Most High. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Draw me near, nearer still, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding child. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I am thine. Arms of love and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you so much. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Ora la 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 rata la la re ber re corre chi ha rada bada da da bada do gusti de la mai chi da la 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 burre chi da da go far rata la bassi de le dio shai e gallo bossi di tataia.
You know, I think about some of these tragedies, and I'm going to let you go in just a second. These tsunamis that hit, and in a moment's time, a wave 50, 80 feet tall sweep in with no warning. And lives are swept out into eternity. But here God is so merciful.
Yeah.
He has been warning us. He's been sounding the alarm over and over and over and over. He's sounding the alarm. Storms are coming. Wrath of God is coming.
Yes, it is.
Get in the hiding place. Get in the safe place. And here, I want to say this, friend. Reach out to those around you. Use every means possible to get them in the safe place. Because the storms are here. It's
not coming. They're here. Here. And the only safe place is in Goshen. Close to the Lord. Drawing near to Jesus. Don't you love Jesus?
Amen.
I'm going to be on Facebook. I've been on there the last few days. I'll tell you, I am calling people to Jesus. I am warning people, get your faith out of the boat. Get your faith out of the ark. Get your faith out of your church affiliation. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you don't know Him, you're lost. There's no such thing as almost saved. You're either saved or you're not. You're either born again or you're not. You're either a new creation or you're not. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? We love you so much, and I appreciate you so much, and I thank you for preaching with me, and I thank you for receiving the word today. And I know that it's not going to end here, but you're going to carry it with you.
Amen.
Because this is the real deal. We're here. We're in the time of storm, and He is the only safe place. Brother Kent, would you go ahead and pray and dismiss us today?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to realize that we are in a storm.
Yes, Lord.
And Jesus, that there is only one Goshen.
Yes, yes.
There is only one place that we can dwell.
Oh, come to us,
help us, Lord, that we should seek to help the others, Lord. And see more saved.
Yes.
And to seek your salvation, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We praise you and thank you, Jesus, for the opportunities we have, Lord. Bless this week, Heavenly Father, that you will be our single sight.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We all say amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise God.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But this racial division